Let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Now what I want to do this morning is basically try and wrap it up from our weekend. Ken, when he wrote to me, said, "Now in your last message, tell us how to get from Vision 83 to the mission field." So I want this time to be a very practically oriented time. We've been challenged and given lots of information. And so what I want today to do is just to try and give you some help in where do you go from here? What happens now? It's all very well to come to a conference like this and get all excited about the mission field, but what do we do now? You know, it's what happens next, and how do I keep the vision going, and things like that. And so those are some of the things I want to just briefly talk about this morning. I know you've been preached out and sermonized out, so you know all the answers by now. So I'd like it to be kind of a relaxed session this morning. But let's read a couple of verses in Romans chapter 10. Very familiar verses. Verse 14. "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Now we've tried this weekend to give you some information about the needs of the world and the problems in our world today, and we have to come down to the question, why should I go? Why should I personally be involved in missions? And really, in my mind, there are basically two answers to that question. Number one is obedience to the Lord Jesus. Why should you do something about missions? It's because Jesus asked you to. That's why. He wants you to. And if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, then you need to be obedient to what He wants. And He wants us to be involved in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with lost men and women. The second answer to that question, why should I be involved in missions, in my opinion, is the great need that exists. Not only am I obedient to the Lord Jesus, but there is a tremendous need for us personally to get out and do something about winning people to Jesus Christ. If we could reduce the world's population to 100 people, reduce all the world's population to 100 people, 23 of them would be Chinese, 15 of them would be Indians, 19 of them would be other Asians, 12 of them would be Africans, 11 of them would be Europeans, 9 of them would be Latins, 6 of them would be Russians, and 5 of them would be Australians, New Zealanders, and North Americans. The great overshadowing need to reach lost men and women is before us, and we are accountable to God for what we do about it. Out of every 100 people, if the world's population were to be reduced to 100 people, 83 of them would never have heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. 83 out of that 100 people would not have heard sufficient of the gospel to make an intelligent decision to accept Christ or not. 10 of them would vaguely have heard about Christ and not really have understood it. 3 of them would have heard and rejected, and 4 would have accepted it. And so I say to you today, why should you go? Why should you make a commitment to missions? Because Jesus has asked you, and because of the great urgent need that is in our world today. Why should you go? And I want to speak to most of you who are young today. Why should you go? You should go because the majority of people in the world today are young people just like you. 45% of all the people who live in Africa today are under 15 years of age. Half of the people of Africa are teenagers or children. Think of that. 50% of the population of Latin America today is under 19 years of age. 50% of the population of Asia is under 21. They are people whom you can best reach with the gospel. That's why you should go. You shouldn't wait till you're 30. You shouldn't wait till you're 40. You ought to go now. And I want to say that you can best reach those people. I can't reach those people as effectively as you can, because you're young, you're at their age level, you're in your 20s, you're in your teens, and you can go and do the job. And I want to tell you, don't let older people say you've got to wait. Some of the greatest missionaries I know went to the mission field when they were 18 and 19. We have two great veteran missionaries in the United States, Mr. T. Ernest Wilson, who's in his 80s or up in his late 70s now, today. And he went to the mission field, I think, when he was 18 or 19 years of age. A lot of people, a lot of the veteran workers who today are giants in the missionary statesmen went out when they were teenagers. They had to learn. They had to go through the experience. You can't be a giant missionary the first day you hit the mission field. But don't wait till you become so mature and so knowledgeable and have all the finesse in your missionary career. It'll be too late then. Go now. It's a young people's world. I shall never forget meeting a young man in Latin America by the name of Roberto. He was 19, fine-looking young man. He lived in a rural community. His parents are poor. He has just an eighth-grade education. But when I met him, he was searching. He was listening to some other people who were living in his village. And they were telling him that one day a new political power would take over in his country and the wealth of the country would be shared equally. And the big landowners of his country would no longer hold the power and the wealth. And he was impressed. And he was drawn to that ideology. But as I was in that town, I asked the missionary that I was with, I said, "Who in this town is sharing Jesus Christ with these young people?" And he said, "There's no one here. No one here to do the job." You can go and do it. You can do the job of reaching young people with the gospel. And you know, it's just a simple matter of making a decision. A decision in your heart and life and to the Lord Jesus and say, "Lord, I will go." But I think they're probably the hardest words to say for most Christian young people, because we're willing almost to do anything else. We're willing to be a fine Christian in our assembly. We're willing to come to conferences. We're willing to share the Lord here. And we're willing to do all kinds of things, but to come to the Lord and say, "Lord, I am prepared to say yes to you, to go and serve you." That's hard. It's not easy. And I think most of us don't ever come to that point. We want to delay that decision as long as we can. You know, as I came in this morning, somebody handed me a poem that I think that we need to dig deep into our hearts. It says this: "Give me a passion for souls, Lord. Give me a passion for souls. Burn out the dross that is in me. Fill all my being with love. Thy work of grace begin. Help me to gather in some from the paths of sin. Give me a passion for souls." Is that what you have? Is that what you have today? or you're kind of drifting in your Christian experience, sort of just moving along without any direction or specific burden or passion to accomplish something for Jesus Christ. Alright, so you come to that point. The second thing I want to say is, how do you really know if you should go? You know, so you say, well, I'll say yes to the Lord and I'm willing to go, but how do I know if I really should go? Alright? Let me give you four things. The first thing that I would ask you, are you really, honestly willing to go? Have you said, yes, Lord, I really, honestly am willing to go? God's not going to drag you kicking and screaming to the mission field. You know, I met a young lady not so long ago that she said to me in no unmistakable terms, she says, I just have simply no interest in missions. She said, there's just zero interest. Well, I said, okay, no sense you going to the mission field. You know, I can't justify that. I think that's absolutely in diametric opposition to what the teachings of Scripture say, because I think if we are truly disciples of Jesus Christ, there is no way that you can say that. You must have an interest in missions if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Mr. Carson, in his prayer, said God had only one son and he sent him to be a missionary. And you know, I think that you and I must have that same burden, willingness to go. Are you willing? That's the first step. The second thing I want to say is, if I'm willing, if you can answer yes, yes, Lord, I'm willing, then you go on to the next step and you say, okay, now what kind of an interest do I have in missions? Do I, you know, what are my spiritual gifts? Where do I fit in missions? If I'm willing, now I need to define what my spiritual gifts are so that I can know perhaps what areas of missions I might really best fit. And you need to know what your spiritual gifts are. Some of you perhaps are good Bible teachers, or you have the potential for developing that. Some of you perhaps have a ministry of encouragement. Some of you have a ministry of practical helps. Some of you are good at administration. Some of you are great children's workers, or you have the potential for developing ministry to children. Some of you are good at one-to-one personal discipleship. Some of you perhaps have the gift of public preaching. All kinds of gifts. Many, many, many gifts. Okay, what are your gifts? Get a genuine understanding of where your strengths and weaknesses lie. That's very important. You see, God is not going to give you a job that's outside the gifts that He's given to you. He has given you specific spiritual gifts so that you might function effectively in the body of Christ. And He's not going to ask you to do something that's outside of the gifts that He's given to you. So operate within the area of the gifts, the strengths that God has given to you. Now, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't seek other spiritual gifts and try to develop other gifts. I think we all ought to be working on developing other gifts that we don't think we have. But at the same time, let's function in the areas that God has given us strengths and perform there, and God will open other doors for us as we do the job that He has set before us. And so whatever your gift is, find an area where that gift would fit. And there are many, many areas where you can function today in the world and use your spiritual gift. There is no one in this room who could not find a place on the mission field today where you could be an effective servant of Jesus Christ if you're willing and you're willing to go and work hard. Now, the third thing I would say to you is, make sure you're reading the Word and praying so that as you read and as you pray, God can speak to you through His Word and you can speak to Him in prayer. I do not believe God's going to drop a bomb on your head or send a little letter flying down from heaven and say, go to Zambia or go to Bolivia or something like that. It's very unlikely that that's going to happen. What's going to happen is that as you pray, and as you know you should go, a conviction from the Lord will just come, here's a place where I can serve and I can go and serve in this capacity. Now I wanted to say to you today, don't get hung up on location. I think we're all desperate to say, boy, I've got to go to this place. I've got to go to India, or I must go to Sweden or someplace. And we're all hung up on trying to find a location where we can go. And I would say to you, location is secondary. I personally believe that there might be 20 places in the world that it could be absolutely the will of God for you to be in. Now, some of you may disagree with that. That's kind of radical thing, teachings from what we've been taught in the past. But I believe that there might be many places where it could be absolutely the will of God for you to serve. And what I'm saying to you today is, as you study the Word, as you pray, as you gather information, God is going to show you that. It'll come clear. Really will. Don't worry about it. Just start down the road. Start getting information on a number of places. Maybe you know French. Maybe you've had French in high school. I had 4 years and didn't do me too much good. But maybe you've got some language ability that God has given to you. Okay, maybe that's a clue as to what you should do. Or maybe you have a specific interest in a particular part of the world. Okay? Start pursuing that. And God will close doors or open doors. Our God isn't the kind of God that sort of leads you down the pathway and then slams doors on you. He wants you to give you the desires of your heart. We have kind of a wrong concept of God. We think God's up there and He's trying to make it all difficult for us. The Scripture says He wants to give you the desires of your heart. He's not trying to make it difficult. So go for what you want to do, provided you are committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, if you're committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, start moving, and God will not let you make a mistake. Really, He won't. He will not let you go in a wrong direction. If you're committed to the Lordship of Christ, just start heading somewhere, and God will either close doors or open doors for you, and you'll know the will of God as you're moving. And then fourthly, I would say to you, are your present circumstances such that you can go? In other words, do you have a big debt you have to pay off? Maybe that's going to hold you up. Or do you have a sick parent or a member of your family who's dependent upon you? Maybe that should hold you up for a while. Or do you have health problems that are not resolved? Or do you have a contract that you've signed with somebody? You need to fulfill that. Maybe there are some physical circumstances that prevent you from going right now. Okay, fair enough. God understands that. You don't have to sit here feeling guilty. But I would say to the rest of you, be careful about debt, going into debt, because it's one of the killers for young people getting involved in missions. They get into debt, you go buy a fancy car and you own $8,000 to $10,000 or something, and you've got other debts, educational debts or other things like that. Don't go into debt. It can keep you from fulfilling the will of God. Be careful about debt. Now, the third thing that I think is important for us to understand is the cost of going. The cost of going. It's going to cost you something to be a servant of Jesus Christ. This business of serving the Lord, it's not a vacation. It's not easy work. It's not like lying on the beach getting a suntan all the time. There are pressures. There are trials. There are stresses. There are failures to overcome. There are heartaches to heal. It's not an easy life. I remember when I started working for the Lord some almost 30 years ago. I went into full-time Christian work. And people began to discourage me. I had elder brethren who said it never worked. I had missionaries who really didn't give me too much encouragement. Don't expect everybody to jump on the bandwagon and say, boy, that's a wonderful thing, you're going to the mission field. You won't get that kind of encouragement from everybody. Listen. Don't close your ears to others' advice, but keep listening to the Lord above the advice of everybody else, and put the advice of others into perspective, and keep going if God has called you. Don't be discouraged by perhaps parents who don't want to see their boy go to the mission field or their daughter go to the mission field. I remember talking to a young girl not so long ago. She wanted to go on one of our teams to Bolivia. And her father, who was on the missionary committee in our area of the country, he was an elder. And he said to me, I'm not going to let my daughter go to the mission field. It's no place for her. Tragic. Tragic. And yet it happens. Don't let others turn you off missions. Keep your commitment to Jesus Christ strong and keep pressing forward. Keep moving. Don't stop. Redirect your steps as others give you advice and guidance. You need to do that. Don't be stubborn and stupid and just plow ahead at all costs. When you get good advice, listen to it and just keep redirecting, but keep headed towards the goal. Because I want to tell you, there's nothing Satan would rather do than to divert you from the objective of being in full-time service for Jesus Christ. Someone mentioned the passage in Luke chapter 9 during this weekend, which is so powerful and so important for us to follow. It says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And what that literally means is that if I'm going to deny myself, it doesn't mean I deny myself a steak or something like that. That's not the point at all. What it means is I deny the right of ownership on my life. And I deny the right to run my own life, and I give that right to Jesus Christ. For Him to call the shots and to set the directions, and whatever He says, I'm prepared to do. That's what it means to deny yourself. I have a piece of land in Australia, and next week I'm going back to the United States. And I say to you, I want to give you this piece of land. I'm going to sign the title deed, and I sign that right of ownership over to you so that I no longer own that land. It's yours. That's exactly what you've got to do with your life. You sign away the right of ownership to Jesus Christ. That's denying yourself. You take up your cross. You're a marked man, a marked woman in society. People know the difference. It's not necessary to wear a little cross around your neck or on your lapel. That's nothing wrong with that, but that's not taking up your cross. It means that my life says to other people, I'm a marked person because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And follow me. Follow me at all costs. The Lord Jesus said, high up in the foothills of the Himalayas, there is a beautiful city called Kohima. And it was there in that city that the Japanese were stopped in their thrust towards India during the Second World War. And buried in the cemetery in Kohima are many Australian, British, and American men who gave their lives for the defense of India and stopped the Japanese advance through the Himalayan mountains. At the entrance to the cemetery, there's a statement over the entrance of the cemetery that says this: they gave their tomorrows so that you might have a today. And you and I are called upon to give our todays so that other people might have a tomorrow. You and I are asked by the Lord Jesus to give our todays so that people might have the hope of eternal life in the presence of the Lord Jesus. I want to tell you, it's worthwhile. It's the greatest thing that you'll ever do. All right, now you say to me, but okay, it's all very well. Well, how do I get started? Okay, the first thing you need to do is go to the elders of your assembly. Go back to your leaders, your spiritual leaders, and tell them that you're interested in going to the mission field. Now I want to say to you that your elders are not perfect. They really aren't. They may not encourage you. They may not just do things the way you think they should be done. But you're under their leadership, and you have a responsibility to go back to your leaders, your spiritual leaders, and share with them that God has touched your heart and that you have a desire to serve Him and to follow Him into full-time Christian work. That's where you've got to start. You've got to go back to those leaders, to your assembly elders, and say to them, "Brothers, I really have a desire to serve the Lord Jesus." Now, first of all, you need to say to them that you want their advice and input and help in order to accomplish this. Now, I know a lot of young people are turned off by their elders. That's being very honest and realistic. It's the same thing in the United States, that there are a lot of older men who don't have a vision. I thank God for older men who have a vision. And I'm excited to see Brother Carson here today. You know, it's terrific to see an older man who comes to a young people's conference and has a desire to encourage young people to serve Jesus Christ. Praise God for men like that. Now listen, some of your elders don't have that kind of vision. We have to admit it. But don't get rude and nasty and go your own way. That's not the answer. The answer is to win them by your life and vision and testimony for Jesus. And I want to tell you, if you put into practice an evangelistic zeal, a discipling ministry, get involved and jump in with all your feet and do everything you can where you are, you'll soon convert them to see that you have been called of God and that you have a vision and a desire to be a part of serving Jesus Christ. So go for it. Get the approval and the acceptance of your elders. Secondly, you need preparation. You can't just jump on the ship or the plane tomorrow and go to the mission field. Now, some people have done that, and they've made out very well. But I want to say, we're living in a society and in a culture today and in a world where we need better training. And there are some things that you can do to prepare yourself for going to the mission field. And I would suggest to you that if there's any way for you to learn a second language, any way for you to take night courses or courses at university or anything to help you in language study before you get to the mission field, you're going to be so much more effective and so faster involved in the work of the Lord. Now, we have come to our training center in the United States. We have about 30% of our young people who come, we give them a language aptitude test. Everybody that comes through our program has to take a language aptitude test to find out if they can learn a language. And there are certain people who don't have the gift of learning languages. You know, about 30% of the American population don't have the ability to really effectively learn another language. And there are a lot of missionaries on the field today who slaughter the language of the country in which they're involved. And it's sad. Maybe some of them should have been redirected to other areas where they could have been better, more effective. And we're right up front with people and we say, you have a very low language aptitude level. And you're going to have a tough time learning a foreign language. Maybe you should consider that God should lead you to an English-speaking area. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. That may be one of the ways that God's going to lead you to a location. Some of these team members back there from Australia came in and they didn't have too high a language ability, and so they had to come to an English-speaking area. Not all of them. But that's okay. That's just part of the way God leads. Find out what kind of a language ability you've got. On a scale of 1 to 100, I think I've got about 4%. You know, so it's not much good me trying to learn Hindi or Swahili or some language like that. But that's okay. Don't get uptight about that. Then you need to learn how to share your faith with other people. A lot of people have never really been involved in sharing their faith with other people. Learn how to share your faith. Take the big risk and jump out and start witnessing. And maybe you can get the four spiritual laws or the four steps to peace with God, and that just be a starting point for you or something. But get started and try it. Try how you start in some way or other, and try sharing your faith with others. Not in a grab them by the throat attitude, but, you know, befriend people. Make friends with people and love them to Jesus. That's what we need to do. And as you start doing this, you're going to find that God is working in your heart and doing a great work of stirring you up and heading you in a direction of your future ministry. Then you ought to work on learning how to cross another culture. Now, there are a lot of tremendous books out today that are available on culturally adapting to another situation. And we have to learn how to adapt to other social structures and other situations. And that's part of preparation. Learn how to get along with people. One of the greatest needs today is for missionaries to be able to get along with each other. It's tragic on some mission fields of the world. A lot of mission fields of the world today, you've got missionaries that are at odds with each other. They hardly talk to each other. I was in one city some time ago, and there was one missionary. I was working with one missionary, and the other missionary crossed over the street and walked up the other side. He wouldn't meet us. He didn't want to meet us. Why, that's ridiculous. I felt like running across the street and grabbing him by the throat and saying, "How are you, brother? God bless you." You know, but I didn't. I really didn't do that. But, you know, we've got to be people who can get along with each other and be big-hearted in the work of the gospel. Don't be narrow-minded. Don't see your own little narrow field and your own little narrow group. We're in the big family of God, and we're members of the body of Christ. And take into your heart and life and prayer and fellowship all the members of the body of Christ. And as you do that, you're going to find that God enlarges your vision, enlarges your borders, and God will give you a broader and a brighter and a bigger ministry as you go forth to serve Him. But prepare yourself. Now, don't take forever to prepare. You're never going to be fully prepared. Limit the time. I think that we shouldn't take more than a year to get ready. If you can't get ready as much as you can in a year, if you're really working at it, then get on with the job. Because what happens is that you lose the vision because Satan's trying to snap up the seed. He's trying to take away the seed that's been planted in your heart. And I've seen many, many young people who say to me and come up after missionary meetings and say, "I'm ready to go." And I say, "How long it is before you can go?" And they'll say, "Well, I really got to do this and I got to do that and it's 4 years." And I say, in my heart, I say, there's a 95% chance that he's never going to make it. While you're hot, go. Don't wait too long. And then, of course, something else that you need to do is to start praying for the provision of God to meet your needs. You know, you've got to have money to get to the mission field. You've got to get your fare to the mission field. And you've got to be supported while you're on the mission field. And I know nobody likes to talk about finances and missions, but I guess I'm one of those fellows that's not afraid to talk about finances because it's a very important part of what we're trying to do. And we need to face up to the fact that it costs money to go to the mission field. And I've seen too many missionaries out on the mission field, and they don't have the financial support to do the ministry that God's called them to do. And what in the world's the good of that? You might as well stay home and live here if you're just going to go over there and eat and try to survive it. Let's make sure that God gives you the faith and the vision and the supporting people behind you to go. And I want to tell you that takes work. What you need to do is to go around and share with other people in your assembly what God is doing in your life. Don't sort of hide it in a closet and say, I'm just going to trust God and not tell anybody. Make the information known about what you're going to do. Tell them when you're going, how you're going, what it's going to cost you to go. Don't beg. Don't ask for specific amounts. That's not the thing to do. But let others catch the vision with you, because as you're on the mission field, they become partners with you. And they are prayer partners with you. They're supporting you. You feel like you're not going to be alone out there. All out there in the midst of nowhere, and you're doing your thing out there, and you wonder if anybody at home cares. And I want to tell you, a lot of people don't. A lot of people really don't care. And they wave you goodbye, and that's about it. But there are some godly, wonderful people who are going to stand behind you, and they're going to pray for you. And when you're going through times of testing, and you're depressed, and you're discouraged, you can write to them and share this with them in confidence, and they can bring it to the Lord. And you feel like you've got a team behind you who are out there, and you're not alone on the front line, but you're backed up by godly people back home who are with you, and they're handing you the ammunition so that on the front line of battle you can be in the action. That's what you need. And you need to work at that. And ask people to be partners with you in the work that you're going to do for the Lord. Now, I've mentioned to you that its location is not as important as making that ultimate decision to serve the Lord. But somewhere along the line, you've got to say, I'm going to go to France and learn French, or I'm going to go to Nigeria, or I'm going to go to some other country. You've got to come down to the decision, obviously. And I would say to you, where do you feel God wants you? You say, well, I don't know. Well, okay, the next question is, do you have any interest in any particular part of the world? Does Latin America sound better to you? Or does Asia, do you feel a drawing power towards Asia? Or do you feel, you know, in a sense, boy, you know, I've often thought about Africa, and that seems to be something that has been in my mind. Where is it? Okay, God can begin at that point to lead you. Start exploring that. Write to a missionary. Find out what his needs are. Find out where God, where there are opportunities. And as you find out, God will lead you. And I would say to you, get started. Don't hang back. Start today on the road to being a full-time servant of the Lord. Maybe some of you are going to get called to go with GLOW, and you need to go to their training center in Smithton, Tasmania. Some of you are going to go out independently, and you need to talk to Mr. Carson or Richard or some of these others. Get a hold of them. Don't be afraid. Go nail them to the wall and say, hey, you guys, I need to know, where are there opportunities for a fellow with my abilities? I'm interested in children, and I'm interested in discipling young people. Now, where do you know there are people? Whom do you suggest I write? You see, God is going to lead you by taking those kinds of steps. He's not just going to lead you by sitting in your bedroom and saying, Lord, where in the world am I supposed to go, and then throwing a dart at the map or something. That's really not the best method. Gather information, and you'll get a sense of direction from the Spirit of God as you gather information, and you'll sense, boy, this is where I could fit, and you'll have just a peace in your heart. This is a place that I could serve the Lord. But get started. Most people never get started of doing anything about it. Now, finally, the rewards. What about the rewards of serving the Lord Jesus? I want to tell you, there's nothing more exciting, in my opinion. There's fulfillment, there's satisfaction, there's peace and contentment in the service of Jesus Christ. It's not easy. Doesn't mean you don't have problems. Doesn't mean a lot of times you don't feel that peace. But down deep there's a peace. that I wouldn't trade for being a banker. I used to work in the Savings Bank of Tasmania. I wouldn't go back there. I was back in Tasmania last week, and I looked at the old place that I used to work, and I thought, boy, if I was still there, drive me up the wall. You know, you go crazy. Just trying to hand money over the counter to people for 25 years, I wouldn't waste my time on things that are insignificant in comparison to being involved in changing lives for eternity. No dollar bill will ever be able to purchase that contentment and joy. There's joy in serving Jesus as I journey on my way. Joy that fills my heart with praises every hour and every day. Go for it. Don't stop. Don't get sidetracked by dollar bills and big houses and big cars and things like that. It's not worth it. With an eternal perspective to life that's not in any way worth the joy or the fun of a few years with the goodies of this life compared to an eternity of being in the presence of Jesus and being able to lay some crowns at the feet of Jesus and say, I served you. Here are my crowns. I give them back to you because you're worthy. I tell you, that's going to be an exciting day. Now you can start. But you've got to make the commitment to start on the road to the mission field. And that's what I wanted to ask you to do. You know, it's all very well for us to come to conferences like this and say it's a wonderful time and you know, everything's going fine and you're all stirred up and you go home and it'll all be gone in a few days. But are you prepared to make a commitment to start on the road to serving Jesus Christ? That's what I want to ask you today. Anybody here prepared to do that? Are you prepared to say, okay, I'm prepared to start on that road asking God to lead me and direct me in the future? Now, God's spoken to us this weekend, and I wonder if you're prepared to answer back to Him, yes, Lord, I'll go, or I'll start down that road to serving Him. I wonder if there's anybody today who feels that sense in their hearts that would stand up publicly and say, by so doing, say, Lord, I'm prepared to start on that road into serving you in my future. Anybody game to do that this morning?